Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our expository study of the book of Joel. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the book of Joel. This is part one of two. Current events update. You know that abortion is murdered babies. We don't believe in, we only use the word abortion like we use the word gay, only when we have to. And they are used to make vaccines. And I keep having people tell us that this isn't true, and we know it is. This is a, I want to stop that for a second. This is a doctor, this is a courtroom, he's giving a deposition, and you can listen, it's not grotesque, there are no pictures, it's just his testimony. Now listen to what he says.
Have you ever worked on developing a vaccine that was eventually used by the public?
Yes.
Which one?
Well, rubella, rotavirus, rabies, made contributions here and there to anthrax, cytomegalovirus, varicella.
Your work related to vaccines, how many fetuses have been part of that work?
My own personal work, too.
I'm going to hand you what's been marked Plaintiff's Exhibit 41.
Two's enough, but he's lying. Just straighten him out.
Are you familiar with this article, Dr. Plotkin?
Yes.
Okay. Are you listed as an author on this article?
Yes.
This study took place at the Wistar Institute, correct?
Yes.
You were at the Wistar Institute, correct?
Yes.
How many fetuses were used in the study described in this article?
Quite a few.
So,
he just contradicted
himself. 74 fetuses, correct?
Well, I don't remember exactly how many.
Turn to page 12 of the study.
Yeah, 76.
76.
Mm-hmm.
And these fetuses were all 3 months or older when aborted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And these were all normally developed fetuses, correct?
Yes.
What organs did you harvest from these fetuses?
Now, he's talking about what they used in developing vaccines.
But,
and this is just one man
were harvested,
and one
by,
testimony.
Co-workers.
Okay. And these pieces were then cut up into little pieces, right?
Yes.
And they were cultured?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the pieces of the fetuses were pituitary gland that were chopped up into pieces. Okay. Included the lung of the fetuses?
Yes.
Okay. Included the skin?
Yes.
Kidney?
Yes.
Spleen?
Yes.
Heart?
Yes.
And tongue?
I don't recall, but yeah, probably yes.
So, I just want to make sure I understand. In your entire career, and this was just one study, so I'm going to ask you again. In your entire career, how many fetuses have you worked with?
Well, I don't remember the exact number, but quite a few when we were studying them originally. Before we decided to use them to make vaccines.
Now,
this one study has 76.
Now, listen close to what he says at the end. It's amazing.
You're aware that one of the objections to vaccination by the plaintiff in this case is
the inclusion of aborted fetal tissue in the development of vaccines and the fact that it's actually part of the ingredients of vaccines?
I'm aware of those objections. The Catholic Church has actually issued documents on that which says that individuals who need the vaccines should receive the vaccines regardless of the fact, and that I think it implies that I am the individual who will go to hell because of the use of aborted tissues, which I am glad to do.
Okay.
Did you get that?
My mother is Catholic.
I have no idea.
Okay. So, do you take issue with religious beliefs?
Yes.
You said that, quote, vaccination is always under attack by religious zealots who believe that the will of God includes death and disease.
Yes.
Do you stand by that statement?
I absolutely do.
Okay. Are you an atheist?
Yes.
This is the type of people involved in this, and they are eugenicists. They are just like the Nazis. And the man says point blank that he read this Catholic document that said that he would go to hell for being the one behind this, and he said he's happy to do that. I mean, that's... But listen, I mean, that's what we're talking about when we see what's going on in every area of our world and culture right now where they're attacking the preaching of the gospel, they're attacking anyone standing for biblical morality, and they're shutting you down off of... I mean, you've already gotten used... Christians have gotten used to being the Jew that in Nazi Germany. Christians are now the new Jew, where we are ostracized. You know how many born-again Christians are in Congress or the Senate or the Supreme Court? Very few, because what do? They will go after you. If you announce tomorrow you're going to run for office, they're going to call you a kook because you believe the Bible's to be taken literally true, and you believe in the rapture. You believe in the virgin birth. You believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. You believe in the resurrection of the saints. Any of those things, they're going to paint you up to be a kook. And that's why I think, what was the fellow on Channel 4 not too long ago? Cabot Ray was one of the last that I know of who was openly an evangelical Christian. He was a Southern Baptist. And he left the industry, I believe, because he got sick of what he had to deal with. And there are minuscule numbers of Christians in the news media, in entertainment, in politics. Why? Because you are now the new Jew. And that's the person, that's the type of people who hate Jesus Christ, and because of that, they hate you. And that's what we're up against. But as Christians, people don't want to hear it. But if you get a vaccine, you're using a product developed using murdered babies. Reality. Jessica.
I have a question about... What about vaccines in the past? What about...
That's what he's talking about.
No, but what...
This has been since 1960. Vaccines are developed using these things.
Smallpox or... what is my friend had?
Polio?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know about before 1960. I don't know. What was it?
Chicken blood.
Chicken blood. That's nice. So it's simply a fact... This is from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. It's just like Children's Hospital here nationwide. No political agenda. This is taken right from their website. I gave the address there. I'm going to copy and paste. Varicella, which is chickenpox, rubella, which is the R in the MMR vaccine, and hepatitis A, and one preparation of rabies vaccine are all made now, he's saying, by growing the virus in fetal fibroblast cells. The fetal fibroblast cells used to grow vaccine viruses were first obtained from elective termination of two pregnancies in the early 1960s. These same fetal cells obtained from the early 1960s have continued to grow in the laboratory and are used to make vaccines today. And folks, that's no different than what the Nazi Party did. They then go on to explain why it's okay, and I'm not going to get into that. But it's Nazi-like eugenics technology at work in vaccines. And I tell people all the time, there have been a few people accuse us of being anti-vaxxers. I don't wear that label. I've never told anybody here not to get a vaccine. If you say I told you not to get a vaccine, I'll call you a liar. What I've told you is, this is the information you need to know so that you can make an informed decision. And it's up to you. I couldn't let them inject that stuff in me. But if you can, that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. And as we will see in our study in a little bit, God's wrath is coming soon. We're right there. We're on the cusp. We're going to see in verse 13 of Joel 3, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great." Now, I know the press there is talking about squeezing the wine, but it is awful coincidental. The press is full, and our press is ready for wrath and judgment. And as I said, they're not injecting that. It's human compost, basically what it is. Just, isn't that crazy? Don't you ever wake up and think, nee, 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 nee. It's like Twilight Zone for some of you who don't know what I mean. That's when it got like real for a lot of people. But those who were awake to what was going on, it's been, you know. The Valley of Decision, Joel 3, beginning verse 7. If you have your Bibles, open those up. Joel 3, if you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the pew. Joel 3, 7 through 14. And we're going to read the even verses together. I'm going to start with the first verse, verse 7. It's an odd verse. I'll begin reading, you join in verse 8. "Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." God's people say amen. Picking up where we left off. The Lord is revealing His basis for this judgment, and His judgment of the nations specifically. In verse 2, we've already covered, "For my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." God's judgment surprises people. I was surprised to find out the reason for the 40-year wandering in the wilderness. And I was surprised when I found out why there was a 70-year captivity in Babylon. Does anybody want to tell us why did they spend 70 years in Babylon? The children of Israel, the southern tribe, Judah, and then the tribe of Levi was in Jerusalem, seeing to the temple, and Benjamin was also there. But
it has to do with them not keeping the Sabbath.
There's every seventh year, you're supposed to give the land a Sabbath. And it added up to 70, and that's why there was 70 years of captivity. And that's some of you I know may not have thought about that. If you were here for our Daniel study, we went over it. But you might remember, some of you might remember when you first realized that's what it was all about. And you're like, wow, God really loves that land. And now when you see the news, you turn on the news, of course, don't turn on the mainstream news because you'll get nothing but garbage. But if you turn on real news and they tell you what's going on in Israel, and you see there's constant struggle for the Gaza Strip and the West Bank and the border with Lebanon. Why? Because God has given that to the Jews. And the world's going to fight him and fight him and fight him. And we're seeing in this text, Joel chapter 3 tells us that God's finally going to get fed up. He's fed up with the Jews because they persist in rejecting their Messiah for 2,000 years. And he's going to judge Israel. And 2/3 of the Jews are going to be destroyed during this coming 70th week of Daniel after the rapture. And when Jesus returns, only 1/3 of the Jews who started the tribulation period are going to still be alive. And they'll look upon him whom they pierced and realize that they and their ancestors, all but a remnant of Jews, have been wrong about Jesus for 2,000 years. There has been a remnant of Jews, by the way, saved and serving the Lord for 2,000 years. You see them sometimes, you don't even recognize it. Jay Sekulow on the American Center for Law and Justice is an example of a Jew that serves the Lord today that you see out in public and everything. Well, he's also going to deal with the Gentiles because the Gentiles basically have forced Israel to be scattered from 70 AD to 1948. And even since 1948, they fought tooth and nail to keep the Jews from coming back to the land. And they fought tooth and nail to keep them from having the land that God promised them. And that's what we're seeing here in chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them." That's talking about all the places where the Jews have been around the world. Now, we're seeing this in its beginning taking place already, and we've been seeing it, like I said, since about 1881 is when the trickle started. 1948, it became a stream. But we still have several million Jews in places like New York City. But Russia is almost empty. All those Jews, millions of Jews come out of Russia. Jews in places like Yemen, we talked about that sad thing about the Yemen babies last week. But out of Yemen, out of Ethiopia, there are some Jews with a really good tan. Have you seen them? And at first, because they're dark-skinned, the Jewish citizens, you know, a lot of them, especially Orthodox, didn't want to bring them in at first. But then they did this thing called DNA was discovered. And they started doing DNA tests and realizing, wow, that's a distant cousin. So even though you got a whole lot better tan than I do, come on in, you know. So that's what happened. So he's saying there's a payday coming. Look at how verse 7 ends. "And will return your recompense upon your own head." Now, of course, that's true about every one of us. If we reject Jesus Christ and refuse to receive the gift of salvation, he's died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for your sins, conquered sin and death when he rose from the grave. And if you reject that offer of salvation, then you will pay. The wages of sin, you've earned it, is death. And so the recompense will be on your head. But even in a non-spiritual sense, in the physical world, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a lot of people. The psalmist talks about people says, "Oh, he doesn't see. The Lord seeth not." You talk about a deception. The Lord sees it all. And if you don't accept his payment for your sin, he keeps books. The Bible says the great white throne, those who have rejected Jesus Christ will stand before that great white throne. And he says they'll open books. God keeps books. "And whosoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because you chose to reject what Jesus did to pay for your sin. You asked for it. Same thing's true about God's promises in other areas. If you choose to reject what God says about biblical morality and you have sex outside of marriage, you're going to pay the price. There's a price to pay. There's consequences. If you choose to be a thief and steal, there's going to be consequences. If you choose to lie, no matter what it is, if you choose to do what God's told you not to do, you're going to suffer the consequences. How do I know that? Because I've been there. I have done that. And I have paid for my sin in the world in a sense of consequences. But the only way to pay for my sins and be saved was to go to God empty-handed and say, I come with nothing. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. So modern men want to pretend that they will not pay for their sins. And that's what this guy that we just saw in the current events update, he is convinced there is no hell. And that's why he says, I'm glad to go to hell if that's what I have to do. Because he doesn't believe there is one. How many of you have seen Ronald Reagan's son, Ron Jr., on TV commercials? Hello, my name is Ron Reagan Jr., and I'm not afraid of going to hell.
Oh.
And he was basically advertising for atheism. So that's why when these guys say they're not afraid to go to hell, it's because they've convinced themselves there's no such place. Well, they'll find out, sadly, if they don't repent. But in this text, we're talking about God saying that land is mine and I have given it to the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 12 tribes of Israel are the 12 sons of Jacob. And they are heirs to the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those 12 tribes, intermixed right now, they don't actually know which tribe who is from, but that they know they're Jews. And they're there in the land, and yet the United Nations as an organization and the member nations of the United Nations and most world religions are all united in their fight against God to keep the Jew from having that land that God has promised to the Jew. And what will this recompense look like? Look at verse 8. This sounds harsh. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. That's terrible. They're going to sell their sons and daughters? Well, keep in mind, this is at the beginning of the millennium. And what God's going to do is He's going to take these people out of the land they don't own. They're going to take these people out of the land that doesn't belong to them, and they're going to put them in the lands of the Gentiles. That's basically what He's saying. Jack?
The Sabaeans are the Romans, but why should the children of Judah? I don't understand that.
Well, He's selling these other the people of the nations into the hands of Judah, because Judah is where we get the term Jew. And Judah is the main tribe of the southern tribes, which is the southern kingdom. And that's the representative of Israel after the Syrians took the northern tribe away.
But it makes it sound like the people of Judah are selling the sons and daughters of Israel to the Romans.
No. Well, yeah. I will sell your sons. He's talking about the Gentile nations. I will sell your sons and daughters into the hand of the children of Judah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's an important clarification some of you might have needed. And so this is going to take place at the beginning of the millennium. And this is how God is going to then distribute the land to the Gentiles. And Israel will have the exact borders He promised. He will give those to Israel for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ will actually sit on a throne and rule from Jerusalem over Israel and the nations. That is why He's called King of plural. He's not just king. He's king of Israel, but Israel, believe this or not, Ezekiel says David will rule on a throne. And why? Because David is the regent king over Israel, and then Jesus is king of kings. He's over all the nations, including Israel. That's something to just meditate on sometime. So now with that prophetic point about the result of the second coming laid, we move on in verse 9, and he says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. This is where the judgment of the nations at the return of Christ is going to take place. He says, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. That's why we always say this. We want peace as far as we are able. But as far as world peace...